Coming up 1 hour from now, we'll head out to Arrowhead. Going to hear from Andy Reid exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. That's every Monday during Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Just a couple days away from heading out to Las Vegas. We'll be out there. If you are going to be there for Chiefs Raiders this weekend, you're flying. A few of you have messaged me and said, hey, I'm flying in Friday like at 8:30. So we got to the party. Goes 7-9 on Friday night at Circa. We'd love for you to make it to that, obviously. And you can text in 913-586-7965 for an RSVP link. It's free to RSVP. It gets you a free drink. Gets you entered to win tickets to the game on Sunday. Gets you entered to win a day bed at the pool. I also found out it's not just tickets to the game. It's also transportation to and from the game. So it's a heck of a setup. So you definitely want to RSVP for that party. But if not, yeah, we'll be there on Saturday. I'm staying through the weekend, but Cody, I don't know what you're with your wife or whatever, what you're doing on Saturday, but I'll be watching college football, I'm sure, somewhere. So if you want to hang out,
probably
some of you have asked.
The largest sports book in the world, U.S.?
It is in the world.
World. Yeah. I couldn't remember if they said the United States or the world.
Largest sports book in the world, and then the pool. I looked at the weather keeps getting warmer and warmer. It's been like 88 degrees. We'll be doing our shows there Thursday and Friday as well. So if you're there even earlier in the week and you just want to stop by, I know I have some friends flying out as well. I know you have some people you know flying out on Thursday and Friday. So we hope to see you guys there. It's going to be a great time, and we can't wait to return to Vegas, where the Chiefs, of course, won their latest Super Bowl. And later in the week, we'll have some fun with the stupid training camp comments from the Raiders with the whole Kermit the Frog thing, and plus, how the hell did Aiden O'Connell and the Raiders win the Christmas Day game last year? We'll get into all that later on.
Won't even be Aiden O'Connell. He's officially out. Broken thumb. Out 4 to 6 weeks. So
I wish he was playing instead of Gardner Minshew. I don't think the Chiefs have to worry about anything, but I would rather, if you had a choice, I would rather Aiden O'Connell play than Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah, but I don't think it matters. They both stink. Yeah. Every day that passes, it grows increasingly hilarious that the Kareem Hunt was available to any of the 32 teams, and instead they allowed him to go to the two-time defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs, a team and offense he was already familiar with. He could have signed with anybody. You know how many teams could have used a player like Kareem Hunt and what he has given to the Chiefs, and he was just on the street available? This does hurt the argument for anybody like, no team wants him. How good could he be?
That's true.
I don't know.
That's fair.
Pretty good, it turns out.
I think in the Chiefs' case, also, this is another one where it's like, hey, the team he's going to definitely matters in this. Would he be doing this if he was in Buffalo? Or Buffalo's a bad example. I don't know. You have my
Dallas.
Point. Like Dallas. I don't know.
I don't know.
He'd be getting a workload. I don't know if he'd be doing this.
He wasn't as good last year, but he was hurt, it turns out.
There's something to be said still about Andy Reid and scheme and the way they're able to scheme it up. But you're right. Kareem Hunt has been sensational. Last three games, 249 on the ground and 3 touchdowns. I mean, those are big time. I haven't looked up what Derrick Henry's done the last 3 weeks, but my guess is that's like top 5 running back stuff the last 3 weeks in the NFL. To have 3 touchdowns, 249, maybe just outside the top 5. I think Derrick Henry's probably had better 3-week numbers right now, but not many others in the league have been better than that the last 3 weeks. He had 78 yards and 2 touchdowns. Yesterday, they rushed for 184. You have to go back to that Jets game week 4. We were hosting our party with Vinny, by the way, when they ran for 204 against the Jets. The last time the Chiefs had that kind of success. Now, Patrick Mahomes also actually contributed, 40-something yards to that rush total yesterday. It was just a sensational effort, but that's part of the formula of how they're going to have to win going forward. And thank goodness they had Kareem Hunt, Cody. Because of the injuries, there is a case to be made. Injuries are a hell of a thing. That outside of Travis Kelce right now, as they are currently constructed, Kareem Hunt might be their second-best offensive weapon. Hell, he might be their best right this second.
Somebody pointing out, he did have 3 blocks himself on a Patrick Mahomes run. So it's like he's doing all the little stuff too. I just can't believe he was available. He is their second best offensive weapon outside. I'd still give it to Travis Kelce, but as number one. But outside of that, or I guess Noah Gray, no, it's Kareem Hunt. It's obviously Kareem Hunt. I just didn't realize he had this kind of juice left. What this tells us is that sometimes we talk circumstance like it's just quarterback. Like that's the only place in which the things around you make a difference. I pointed this out with James White a couple of weeks ago, because I thought it was valid. Some guys will do, like Mecole Hardman will never be as good of a player here or anywhere else as he is here. Kareem Hunt might be falling into that trap where here is where he's at his best. But the truth is, it's not just like they're scheming him up and it's working. Man's running hard.
Mm-hmm.
He's breaking tackles. He's hitting the hole. He has been their most talented running back here for a while. I don't know what the hell they're going to do when and if Pacheco comes back, and they've got to like go a true two-back system. But this doesn't seem like a bad problem to have.
Well, I think it's a great thing when Pacheco comes back, because I, much like we've discussed with other additions, you know, to this team that have injury history or they're just older, you know, can Kareem Hunt do this for another 15 games or, you know, 14 games or whatever? I don't know if he can, just in terms of his body and staying fresh. Like, is he going to be worn out before the playoffs? So I actually think, yeah, it's imperative that when the time comes, we assume Pacheco will be back. When that time comes, neither one of them probably is capable of carrying the workload at this point. He's coming back of an injury. Kareem Hunt, to me, there's still going to be some concern about him wearing out. So, no, it should be a split when the two are back. I mean, they'll need it. It'll need it to be that, to keep both fresh come playoff time. It's so different in Kansas City than everywhere else. Everywhere else is like, hey, we got go full steam ahead. They just got to get to the playoffs. Here, that's not the concern. That's not the conversation. It's about making sure they're ready to go in the postseason. So I think they approach it specifically at this running back spot differently than another team would. Another team would be like, oh, we'll just keep feeding Kareem Hunt the ball 25 times a game. We don't care. I think the Chiefs are smart enough to recognize that when Pacheco is back, they can't do that. Hell, the last drive or two against San Francisco, you probably noticed, they gave the ball to Kareem Hunt, but Carson Steele, P. Ryan was in that game. Hell, if Clyde Edwards-Helaire was available, they would have given the ball to him. Like, they were making sure that they didn't wear him out too much, even down the stretch. Keep fresh legs.
Once the game was in hand, they were like, okay, we're done running Kareem. What stood out the most probably is he is better, and this includes Pacheco. Since Kareem Hunt left, no running back in between Kareem Hunt and Kareem Hunt is what I'm saying, is better at finding the end zone. It's an underrated skill, man. The guy's good down there. He's got a nose for it. He finds it. He's good at finding the small creases that exist inside of the 4-yard line, 5-yard line, where those little, it's not all tough earned yards. You can't just run into the back of someone and hope to plow your way into the end zone. You have to find little tiny creases to sliver your body through in order to get those 6 inches to put yourself into the end zone. That's what he does so well. The other runs are great too. I'm not saying, obviously, he's been a tremendous running back for them in the 2 weeks since he's returned, especially because you would think that they'd be inching closer back to the line of scrimmage just because who the hell is left to throw to? But even considering that, it doesn't matter. Kareem Hunt, I feel like he's running like he wants to prove to the Chiefs he's sorry or something. Like, he's running like, I'm sorry about all that time I wasn't here, and I'm going to earn your respect back every single time I touch the football from now until I'm done playing for you.
Yeah, I mean, there might be some truth to that. You know, I think the other part with to that point, Cody, is that, you know, maybe it's not so much like to show I'm sorry, but also like, hey, I'm going to make the most of this opportunity because I know what happened when I lost that.
I blew it. Yeah.
You know, like, I think it's probably a combination of the two, where it's like, yeah, I know that I could have been part of all these championship teams, but I screwed up. And now I'm not going to let, you know, I'm not going to screw up again. I'm going to make sure that I make the most out of this maybe last opportunity that I'm going to ever have. And that's what he's doing. And
7 yards a game, a touchdown a game. It's mm-hmm. impressive. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what production you were expecting out of Kareem Hunt. It wasn't this.
No, hell no. Absolutely
it
not.
It wasn't. Look, no. And this is what's always so crazy about Andy Reid and running backs is Carson Steele would still be the starter probably for this team if he held on to the football. Isn't that wild? Like, I'm not even kidding. If Carson Steele just never fumbled the football, he might have 70 yards a game and a touchdown a game. I don't know.
Yeah.
He obviously doesn't go down without a fight, and he was definitively the starter when Kareem first made it back onto the team, and that's how Andy treats it. Maybe it would have been a 50-50 share.
If Kareem
but
Hunt
it wouldn't have been 100% of the time Kareem Hunt, but then Carson couldn't hold on the ball, and Kareem's been great.
And I wonder if, you know, if Kareem Hunt was running this successfully in limited carries, if they would just continue to give him more and more, and we would have seen him overtake the job anyway. I don't know. But it definitely made it easy, and there was no doubt by the time they were done with that Chargers game who the number one running back for this football team was, or is, and that's Kareem Hunt. And then hopefully Pacheco is available late November or something. I don't know. I can't remember where we at in the progress of that timeline. It's been how many weeks now? He got hurt in the last home game.
Week two.
Right?
Week two, yeah.
So, second to last home game, I guess.
Week three?
Yeah, week two. So anyway.
It was against the Bengals, so it was week two.
There you go. I figured you would remember that one.
hey, Bengals are almost 500 again.
They are.
Who do they have this week, Drew? Or next week?
He's talking to somebody.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not sure. It's all good.
Wait, who's he talking to?
I don't know. Who was that?
Is there someone in the building?
No, Sophie came in and wanted to make sure that I we're doing like bios, and I haven't sent her my information yet.
Oh,
can we write your bio for you in the text line? Can we write your bio and see what the text line would come up with?
It's probably not.
Let's do Mad Libs. I'll put noun, adjective, and you guys can just fill in the rest of the bio.
You guys are throwing shade at the Bengals. They are.
We weren't throwing any shade. That's why we were trying to talk to you. We were actually going to say something positive for once. They've finally done something positive. The only thing I would say is they were playing Cleveland, and they still made it very interesting late. You guys should be worried that DTR was playing instead of Deshaun.
The Browns always play their best football when they play the Bengals.
We brought up Cincy, though, because I want to talk about Cleveland for a second. And the story out of that game is not just that Cleveland lost and Cincinnati won. It's that Deshaun Watson's done for the season. It's been confirmed now, I believe, in the last hour. So,
report about an hour ago.
Ruptured Achilles. Right? He's done. Yeah. And who knows what his long-term future is and everything like that. DTR/Jameis Winston will be the quarterback the rest of the way. The story, though, that has people talking is fans had a similar situation what we experienced here in Kansas City many, many years ago with Matt Cassel, which was an injured player gets hurt and fans are cheering. Just listen to this. There's also, you'll hear some boos because Chubb is... You just listen to the audio.
That's right when he gets hurt.
Yeah, by the way, I saw that audio's terrible. I couldn't even. That was
terrible.
But
when you hear that roar in the crowd, that audio is awful.
I thought we had something clearer than that. Sorry, that's nobody's fault. But I was just like, holy crap! I saw it labeled. It says Watson boos and cheers. Did not know.
You can hear somebody say in the background, oh, the boos are raining down or something.
Anyway,
like that.
The point is that there were boos and there were cheers for Deshaun Watson getting hurt. And we all know the Eric Winston, Matt Cassel scenario.
That's almost exactly what it reminds
me. So Matt Cassel, who had not been playing well, got hurt. And Eric Winston was very upset after the game then. It reminded all of us of that exact circumstance yesterday.
We are athletes, okay? We are athletes. We're not gladiators. This isn't the Roman Colosseum. People pay their money, hard-earned money, to come in here. And I believe they can boo, they can cheer, they can do whatever they want. Because I believe that. Hey, we're lucky to play this game, a game, to come in here. And people, it's hard economic times, and they still pay the money to do this. Okay? But when somebody gets hurt, there are long-lasting ramifications to the game we play. Long-lasting ramifications of the game we play. All right, I've already kind of come to the understanding I probably won't live as long because I play this game, and that's okay. That's the choice I've made. That's a choice all of us has made. But when you cheer somebody getting knocked out, I don't care who it is, and it just so happened to be Matt Cassel, it's sickening. It's 100% sickening.
That was a classic clip
in Kansas City sports history.
Sickening
and disgusting. We're not gladiators.
These two circumstances, I'm just going to put it.
Eric Winston was not on the team the next year, by the way. Go ahead.
These two circumstances are not the same. Matt Cassel was just a nice person who is a model citizen. And I'm using that word on purpose. A model citizen who happened to be playing bad football, who got booed because Kansas City fans were at their end, right? They were at their end. They couldn't take losing football anymore. It felt like Matt Cassel was the reason. They were happy he was no longer in the game. It didn't mean anything, but the liquored up crowd cheered when they shouldn't have cheered for a guy getting hurt. Yesterday, screw every single Browns player who after the game tried to be holier than thou. Myles Garrett said he had been a model citizen,
factually inaccurate,
completely inaccurate, his entire life. I'll just be honest. A Browns fan, I wouldn't have done it. I think I would have just had the normal reaction, which is like, karma's a bitch. But like, I don't blame them the way I would on the other end. Who cares? He's been a bad person by all accounts. And dozens of settled sexual assault lawsuits he continues to go through, by the way. He just settled one 2 weeks ago. Model citizen. No. Yeah, like... What? Getting hurt probably stinks. Do I feel bad for Deshaun Watson even a little bit? No.
Obviously stinks, you know, for his career and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, I think if there's any player, I don't know about, I think you can I think you can feel the way that it sounds like you feel, and I agree for the most part, which is like, you know, don't care for the guy. I think he's kind of a POS. That's all true. At the same time, I don't know if I'm standing up and cheering the injury, though, right? There's still both to
me. I think
me.
We're probably like, just looking at each other and be like, that's too bad.
Yeah, it's one of those like, I think that's probably what it is more than the, standing up and cheering. Now, Jameis Winston doesn't, he's unintentionally funny.
Yeah,
at times. Right. And yesterday's clip was another example.
You're right. The way I was raised, I was taught to love no matter the circumstances, especially for people who do right by you. I'm grateful that I had a chance to serve Deshaun, but I am very upset with the reaction to a man that has had the world against him for the past 4 years. And he put his body and life on the line for this city.
His life?
Every single day, regardless of your perception, regardless of what you thought should happen with him, he committed every single day that I've been here to be the best that he can be for this team. And I know I come from the deep south, Birmingham, Alabama, Best Man, Alabama. So I know the standard that hungry fans want. But the way I was raised, I will never pull on a man when he's down.
I saw a lot of people after this game like, what a powerful statement from Jameis Winston. Okay.
Sounds like a TV speech from Friday Night Lights.
Okay. You know, I think.
Are we sure he didn't say this about Matt Saracen after some loss?
In Cleveland, it's obviously the story today, not only that their quarterback is out for the season, but the reaction from their fans, because we had something very similar. The difference was Matt Castle was an upstanding citizen, and Deshaun Watson is not. I understand someone will text it and say he was never found guilty.
He
40 different
settled.
Women accused him. We saying all 40 were lying? I'm just saying.
And
I don't
he
think
settled
so. I don't think so.
Two-thirds of those, at least. That's the part that doesn't, like, this is the part where, like, if you're a teammate and you're in a building, I'm sure it's really difficult. But just don't lie about it to make the problem worse. The problem goal is he stands up and he's like, for the last 4 years, everybody has been against him. Why, Jameis? Yeah. Why? Why has everyone been against Deshaun Watson for the last 4 years?
He's not the victim. He's not the victim.
That'd be like, for the last 10 years, everyone was against the Menendez brothers. Yeah, why, though? Why were people against them is the question to the answer here. It's not a mystery why people were like fighting against his, you know, his happiness.
Have you been locked into that, by the way?
No, I haven't watched that yet. It's been in pop culture lately.
Oh, yeah. It's made news. There's been press conferences and they're trying to push the prosecuting attorney at the time or now the current prosecutor, I guess, to revisit that case. That's a whole nother conversation that we will not have on air today.
You don't want to get into the Menendez brothers?
No. But
I think it's all because of that Netflix doc. I guess I need to watch it. Supposedly it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I hear as well. All right, let's get to the trash of the day. All right, so this goes to the UK, where a man claims to have spent thousands of dollars eating at his new favorite restaurant. That's not really a restaurant. It's a cafeteria. Hospital cafeteria, to be exact. This gentleman, 33 years old, told news agency out there that he's eaten more than 700 meals at various hospitals throughout the UK, spending a total of $13,000 since 2022. He goes on to say, instead, he's eating at hospitals because he finds the food to be excellent value for the price and because it's just plain good.
No.
Now, you're wondering, like, what's the connection? Did he have a family member that worked at a hospital? He started eating at hospital cafeterias when he was visiting his father back in 2022 at a hospital after he worked late shifts. It was at that point he discovered he could get a meal of a baked potato, a drink, and a chocolate bar for less than $10. He said it satisfied his nostalgia for the meals he would eat at school. He said is both better tasting and better value food than fast food. Other than the actual taste of the food, the other problem I think would be weird with this personally, sometimes like the hospital cafeteria, I understand there's also nurses and doctors that are eating there too, but some of the family members, I mean, who they might have a family member that's been in ICU for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's not exactly a uplifting place.
It's not like going to the resident Cracker Barrel rubbing elbows with the people at
the table.
Someone
might have just found out that a family member had cancer. Someone might not know if their family member is going to live. Like, I just don't need to be around that just so I can get, quote, good value food.
The photo of the food makes it so unappealing.
Sometimes this guy's a genius.
Genius?
I don't know. Also,
700 meals at various hospitals.
Yeah.
And look, maybe it's better in the United Kingdom. I don't know. Like, maybe the meals are better because of universal health care. So I don't know.
You showed us
but
a
like,
picture
this
of
is
the
nuts.
Food. Gold. It doesn't look good.
Also, I'll just be honest. A baked potato, a drink, and a chocolate bar for less than $10.
You're getting robbed.
Doesn't sound like that good of a deal. Dude, I could get that at Quick Trip. I could get a couple of taquitos, a drink, and a chocolate bar for less than $10.
Yeah.
What the hell am I going to the hospital?
That must be one banging baked potato. It's got to be like the best baked potato you've ever had in your life, I guess. I don't know.
Dude, it just, no.
Someone says he was just going there and using it for dating purposes. Somebody else said
dating that, purposes.
Well, the text line says maybe he was there. He turns on his Tinder profile and he's swiping.
I also just think hospitals are busy places where you're trying to like keep out you're just trying to like. It doesn't feel like anyone should be able to just pop into the hospital unless they got something to be there. You know, this is a place where about business. You're either visiting someone who was in the hospital or you yourself need the hospital. I don't think I should just be allowed to like kick it
the
hospital.
Okay.
I feel like that's limited to the people who need to be there, not just want to get a cheap baked potato for lunch.
Someone says KU Hospital, legit, excellent cafeteria. That might be the case. I just, like, Cody's like, what are you doing for lunch? Actually, you want to meet me at the KU Hospital cafeteria for lunch today? Like, what?
Would that be a weird thing I'd suggest?
Sure. Are you getting some tests done or no? Just want to stop in. Huh.
Like, this doesn't make any sense at all to me.
That is the trash of the day. A little bit later on the show, we'll read some of your texts again. We asked you to come up with Drew's bio as we were trying to talk to him earlier. We had a coworker that was talking to Drew at the time, and we asked why, and Drew said it's because they needed his information for a bio. So we want the text line to come up with the bio for Drew. There's some good ones. Someone suggested Drew, a one-time victim of an online scam involving a couch, enjoys fantastic times at Twin Peaks, and fantasizing about Joe Burrow's eyes. Those are the kind of bios we are looking for.
Incorrect. Somebody said that
some
I like Scooby reruns, which is true.
Factual. Some of it. So we'll get to the Drew's future Odyssey bio for the company a little bit later on the show. Up next, though, we get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll talk a little bit more about how this team is 6-0. And don't forget, we're expected to hear from Andy Reid coming up at noon right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
About 25 minutes, we'll hear from Andy Reid exclusively here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. You guys can keep texting in, interacting with us, 913-586-7965. Talking Chiefs football. And yes, at some point, we will read some of the bios.
Some
of them
really
are positive,
ones.
Drew.
There are some positive.
Some of them are
ones.
Positive.
Yeah,
someone
said you're a man of your word.
Someone
like
says,
me.
Drew is a stand-up guy. This would be their bio for work, as work is asking for bios.
Yes.
Drew is a stand-up guy, actually pays his debts, unlike one of the other members of Cody and Gold.
That's a good one.
That one's accurate.
Feels like that's targeted.
I think that's accurate, you know?
There's another factually accurate one that I love, Scooby-Doo reruns.
That's true.
That's also true.
That could be your fun fact, you know?
I do think the Bengals are going to be in the playoffs still. Yes, that also is true.
Yep. So we'll read some more of these at all. Again, the reason why we're doing this one's like, what bios for? Every once in a while, we'll be asked to put out new bios. And I guess, I don't know, Sophie, one of our coworkers.
You guys all had a job before, right?
Yes.
You guys gotten that email?
It's that, yes.
Yeah, we already did it.
Oh, okay.
I was like several days after Gold.
Drew, we already did it, man.
I'm slacking really bad.
That's why she came to talk to you.
You know, if you forgot before me, it's pretty bad. The last time they asked me to do something, it was like, hey, can you send a video for this thing? And I never sent it, and they never said anything. I just forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Goldson did that day, I think, like that afternoon.
I usually do it because it's more like just get it done with, right? Be
smart.
Done with it and not have to worry about it.
I tell myself that, but I don't actually do
it. I hear you. Someone did say, make sure you include you mow the yard barefoot. That is that is still nuts.
Says the headline is, Drew is fantastic.
I love that. All right, let's talk some Chiefs football again. This team is 6-0. They've got a little bit of a cushion, as much as a cushion you can have on October 21st.
Two games, seven games into the season. That's pretty good.
That's as big of a cushion you probably can realistically have if you just do the math on who's playing who. And, and obviously, you got to be undefeated for that to even be in play. And they're 6-0, and they're doing it with, you know, receivers that continue to get hurt. Yesterday, Juju was the latest, unfortunately. We don't know if he's going to be out for a week or two or if this is a short-term, even shorter-term thing. But there was a point yesterday where Watson, Moore, and Hardman were the receivers for a drive or so, because Worthy also was out for a brief period of time. Then he returned. I mean, that's they're doing with that. They're able to go on this 12-game winning streak that they're on, going back to last season, overcoming injuries. Yeah, everybody has them. I know any other fan base would say, well, we have injuries too. Yes, you do. But one team has won 12 in a row. One team is coming off a Super Bowl. One team is chasing a three-peat. And one team is still 6-0 to start this year when, yeah, it's a league right now riddled with injuries.
So it's been the most impressive start to the season they've probably had under Andy Reid. And that goes back to even the first season in which Andy Reid took over a 2-win team from the year before and got them into the postseason, where you're like, wow. Now, look, I think if you were on the outside looking in, I'll tell you this. There'll be a lot of fans who don't watch the Chiefs every week. They're going to call them a paper tiger. They're going to call them the Steelers from a few years ago, where we mocked and joked and ridiculed and said, this can't possibly hold. Look at his quarterback stats. Guy's only averaging 230 yards a game. He's on pace for 5 more interceptions than he has touchdowns so far this year. All the things that I think if you looked at a stat sheet, you could rightfully pick on Kansas City and say there's no way in hell this will land. But of the teams who are, let's just say, actively in a playoff spot, so I don't have to go any further down than that, they've already faced 2 of them, and they will face almost every single one of them at point this season. So there'll be no paper tiger about it. Right. They've already faced the Baltimore Ravens, a team who would be in the postseason and won, the Chargers, who are in a postseason spot, who they've beaten. They still have on their schedule the Texans, Steelers, and Bills, the teams that currently sit 2, 3, and 4 in the AFC standings. They haven't played the Colts yet. I don't think they do.
They don't. Yeah.
But so of the 7 playoff teams, they have either they've played 2 and they're on pace to face the other 3. They're 2-0. They're the reason. The Chiefs are the reason why they have the 2-game cushion. By beating those teams is why they possess that lead. It just speaks to the mediocrity of the AFC. It's homogenous. It's all jumbled up into one big mess. Some of those teams I just mentioned are going to miss. Some team like Cincinnati or the Colts or the Broncos or some other team will make it in, and it'll just be a mess by the time with one team left standing. I am weirdly confident 6 weeks into the season that the Chiefs are going to be the number one seed.
Well,
I wouldn't put it at 100%, but I am weirdly confident that we're already barreling towards that.
Well, it's because you listed a couple of teams they've already beaten. One, and some of them, you know, impressive just because we have seen what the Ravens now are looking like and where the Ravens look like, maybe the second best, third best team in the AFC. Outside of Detroit, the Ravens might be the second or third best team in football right now. And Kansas City was able to beat them earlier on in the season. And then the Niners team that's all banged up and all that, it was still a road win where the Chiefs were underdogs. That's also why I think you're feeling more and more confident about that, not to mention the math is in your favor. Now, if they were to lose head-to-head to Buffalo, okay, it gets a little more interesting. But if they were
if Buffalo loses before then and the Chiefs don't, you
or
know,
don't whatever. Lose before then yeah. or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, but if Kansas City beats Buffalo, I mean, then the lead just increases. I mean, the head-to-head thing is in your favor. They already have the tiebreaker on Baltimore. That's still the one that might end up being the most important thing. Like, if we fast forward to week 17, and hopefully the Chiefs don't have to play their starters or against the Broncos or whatever, week 17. Week 18.
Like, something doesn't sound right about that. The 17 game schedule still has us all screwed up.
Week 18, game 17. Hopefully they don't have to play that game.
Yes.
We might look back at the Ravens game to open up the season from a tie-breaking perspective.
That's when they won.
Well, that was it, you know, because it will tighten up probably at some point. Like, unless you think the Chiefs are winning 15 games. Before the season, we all did our predictions or whatever. I think I had them 14. You had 13 or 14 as well.
13. We were inverse from the year before.
14 is a lock to get the one seed. I would argue 13 with the tiebreaker probably would be that as well. 14 is no questions asked. You don't even have to worry about anything if you think they're getting to 14.
This is the crazy thing. I mean,
nobody else is getting to 14 wins in the AFC.
No. Well, I mean, technically, that's borderline almost the best they can do.
Almost.
Like, I mean, it would require them to do better. They would have to not lose a single game the rest of the way, which is not how the NFL works most of the time. The problem is that, and maybe I'm too bullish, and I know we'll give predictions on Friday, but like, I already think the Chiefs are at 10 wins.
No, Ravens and Bucks coming up. Raiders and Bucks.
Raiders, not even the Bucks. I think they're at 10 wins right now before we even play any part of the season. Raiders twice, Cleveland once, Carolina. There's 10. 10 in the bag before they've even played a damn game the rest of the way. So all I'm asking them to do to get is to go 500 for the rest of those games, really, in order to get there. And so it's like kind of hard to imagine that they're not going to creep towards that number at some point. A lot of this, there's like one stat I think we can get into later, but like there's only one or two things that I'm like, this is not sustainable and for you to continue to win games. Everything else is. The way they play defense is sustainable. The way that they move on offense, hell, it can only go up. What they do on offense is more than sustainable. Run the football, short passing game. What do you think? Those things go away automatically? No, those things hold up. Like the only thing you'd be like is the same thing. How many injuries can you take on before it's a problem? But it's the way this team is playing. There's no way in hell. I didn't think they were starting 6-0 anyway. Okay, so let's just start there. I didn't think they'd win all six of their games. If you had told me what they had to overcome in order to win it, I'd have borderline call you crazy before the season. And I think you would have too. We all thought that they were going to lose one of the games against the Ravens or the Chargers on the
I think I had them start. I think I had them starting 2-0 but losing to the Falcons before the season. That was the game at Atlanta that I had them dropping in the first six or seven. So they were going to, I think I had them 5-1 or something out of the gate losing to Atlanta. But you're right. Now look at heading into the season. At the time of those predictions, we didn't know Hollywood Brown was out for the year. We obviously didn't know Rashee Rice was out for the season. I guess Hollywood Brown has a chance to come back. I shouldn't say out for the year yet. Going to miss 95% of the season at least.
He comes back, it'll be Brown. Late.
Yeah, Isaiah Pacheco, let's not forget that. Now Jalen Watson, unfortunately, broken ankle, according to multiple reports. So he could be done for the year. I mean, a lot of this stuff has happened, and other teams are dealing with it, but they keep racking up wins. So hopefully the payoff is going to be on the back half of this thing that they're going to get an extra bye week, because we all discussed how early the bye week and how it's not ideal. Well, they might get, for the first time in a couple of years, they might get the extra bye week, and boy, it looks like they're going to be able to really use that with the pace they're headed.
They should just give themselves a second bye week and start Carson Wentz against the Panthers. Just give all the starters the day off. You know? Screw that game. I mean, are you kidding? Well, it wasn't even Jaden Daniels yesterday, and they got 40 balled by, who was the?
Mariota.
Mariota.
Yeah. To your point, though, I think what you would see for the Panthers game, depending on how everything's going, is anybody that is borderline banged up, what they do. Obviously, Mahomes is playing that game. But
if your back has been sore for a couple of weeks, we're good this week.
Juju, the hamstring is still a little tight. Yeah, we'll save you for the next week. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of stuff that they would do for that game. Although by then, who knows? Bryce Young might be starting, so even better.
I've seen the name on the text line a lot today, and I saw it on Twitter last night. Should we take the Justin Ross rule and apply it to a player who matters seemingly even less than that in Sky Moore? Should we just agree to never mention his name on the show ever again?
Here's why you don't have to do that rule. Because the Justin Ross rule was put into place a training camp ago because we had to, with the text line became inundated with people acting like he was going to be, the next Jamar Chase. And they just weren't giving him an opportunity. And so that's why that happened. Sky Moore, I don't think anybody wants to talk about the guy. I think it's the opposite. There's no rule needed, Cody. Nobody wants to talk about his production, because there is none. There's nothing to talk about. Nobody's clamoring. We got texts today. People are actually upset that Justin Ross still has not been called up. By the way, offensive or a hell of an indictment that people were way overblown with his production that he can't even get called back up.
Oh, way overblown on that. But I'll be honest, it is a bit malpractice. The Chiefs should be playing anyone. And like sometimes you're like, well, name somebody you want instead of Sky Moore. I'm not kidding. Anyone who is on the Chiefs roster. Any practice squad player, any dude who got some reps.
Any
rookie who got some reps in mandatory minicamp, who got to get some reps because he played at Blue Valley High School. Anyone. They have no receivers left. He was targeted on a single pass, and he dropped it. So, anyone. would show.
I mean, if they don't make a transaction this week in terms of outside the organization this week, and we find out Juju's not available, they'll like have to call up Nico Romillo or like they'll have. I mean, they just will have to. But we'll see with Juju's health. The good news yesterday, and I don't know if it's sustainable, but Mecole Hardman deserves some props. Hit based off of catching the really touchdown good. In the Super Bowl, and then even this game yesterday. How people are going to remember Mecole Hardman has changed so much in less than 9 months. It really has, right? I mean, we all know he went to New York, and people were like, all right, it's just time to move on. He's been disappointing, even though you look at his numbers, they look better based off of what Sky Moore has ultimately been, et cetera.
Yeah, it's 50 yards. He doesn't have, like, some massive...
No, I mean, like, numbers as in what he was doing when it was the Chiefs. Yeah, everybody acted like he... People were talking about Sky Moore, Mecole Hardman, like he was Sky Moore when Mecole Hardman was... second year
five, 600 yard
exactly.
Here,
yeah. So looking back, I think everybody is going to view Mecole Hardman way more fondly, and the Super Bowl game winning catch definitely helps that. But even yesterday, it's not like he had 100 yards. You're right, but two runs for 38. Of course, the touchdown had a big completion on the 17 yards. I mean, that's the kind of production they're going to need from random guys, basically. But I just feel like Mecole Hardman's not only stock among the fan base, but in general, is just the view of him has changed forever because of the Super Bowl. But even now, like, we're going to 20 years from now, like, when the name Mecole Hardman coming up, if it comes up, is viewed way more favorably than it would have 3 years ago.
I know he said after the game he would like not to be remembered this way. But is there any way we can convince Mecole Hardman to play the way he plays against the 49ers, against every team? I mean, it's borderline. It's starting to get almost comical in both Super Bowls against the 49ers, in this one, in other regular season games. I don't know what it is about their defensive alignment specifically that makes Mecole Hardman such a weapon, or if it's just like he's a big game player and the 49ers always kind of feels like a big game because they're a Super Bowl contending team most years. He plays better against the 49ers than any other teammate.
He does.
It's crazy.
It's
he's always having big punt returns, runs, catches, like. He does it all against the Niners. It's kind of weird at this point. But like he's a reliable NFL player. Mecole Hardman will play in the NFL for 10 years. He is he's like Adam Frazier, right? However you want to do the baseball comparison, he'll play 10 years in the league. He'll never have more than the 690 yards or whatever he had receiving for Kansas City a couple of years back, but he will always be on a roster. He'll be viable on a roster. He'll find a way to be productive. He'll never be your star. Sometimes he'll be on a bad team. Most of the time, in this case, been a good team because he's with the Chiefs. But he's fine. He's a perfectly fine NFL player. Deserves to be on a roster for most NFL teams. It just seems like he's better against the 49ers for whatever reason.
Yeah, that's the way it's worked. I mean, they also ran basically the identical play as the Super Bowl, too. It just didn't work because as Mecole was cutting back, he slipped a little bit. It threw off the timing of the throw for Mahomes.
Well, that was a touchdown.
The Niners still would have been caught off guard, but like that, it's also just a good play design. But
it is funny that they would fall for it again.
Yeah, I mean they just ran. I mean the last time you played them, the game winning play, you would think that's like, oh, not this bleep again. You know, like, and it almost worked again. If he doesn't slip, it's a touchdown because he would have just had the space in front of him.
Yeah, because the ball was only maybe a yard pat, not even that, probably a couple of feet past Mecole on that. I think
someone
it's clean
wants
out of
clarification
the
on your statement real quick, Cody. I think you said anybody over Sky Moore. You said that, right? Mm-hmm. Text line. They just want to know, Cody. They just need to know for the record. Do you mean you would take Kadarius Toney still? At least Sky Moore is not costing them games by lining up offsides or batting balls in the air, etc.
It's like the only, it's like
the only name. Okay.
It's the only name that I would like at least. It's the only one I think I'm a no on. Because if you said, hey, today they're going to get rid of Sky Moore and they're going to sign MVS, sold. Fine.
You see, he's visiting the Saints today.
Yeah. But they're going to elevate Nico Romillo. Cool. Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Oh, I'm fine with that.
Or, I don't know, like, they're going to pick up Hunter Renfro off the street. Sounds good.
The baseball player, even?
Yeah.
Or the football player. Which
maybe
one?
Even the baseball player at this point.
Gotcha.
Toney might be the only line. That's just too much. You know, I'm not a monster.
In fairness, to Kadarius Toney, at least he could get open. Sky was open.
But he cost
Sky
them
was open
games.
Yesterday.
But dude, he cost
he
them
losing
games.
Losing games. Sky was nothing games. He's just like, he's a net zero.
Yeah, like if we were to do war, but for football or whatever, like Kadarius Toney would have a negative war. Sky Moore's would just be like, you know, level or whatever. It would be negative, but not as much. You know?
I would rather Clyde Edwards-Helaire line up in the slot like a receiver in those snaps.
He made a really good catch last year, and that was one of the best catches that we saw.
He wasn't even active. But yeah. I'm just telling you, I'm open to... Tony, maybe.
We found the spot.
There is a line.
We found the spot where you're willing to not go.
I wonder, and I know that they might bring Hollywood back. Let's say they bring Hollywood Brown back next year.
Oh, next year.
Rashee Rice is back. Well, he's going to be suspended, but he's in the room. Xavier Worthy's in the draft in the room. I don't know if they can just go one wide receiver again. Just bury the room for what it has been, because Bink was asking for it. I was asking for it. Just bury the room entirely next season, whether it's free agency or any time in the offseason.
But I mean,
bury every player that has not been good for you in this last couple of seasons, and just reset everything and hook up your Lamborghini with other options instead of
I don't mind that, but this goes back to the idea that they didn't try that this year. They put Sky Moore down to wide receiver 7. I mean, they had buried those dudes on the roster. They just got injured. And then they didn't really have a choice, you know? They were stuck with the options they had because of injury.
Coming up next, we're going to hear from Andy Reid. The only place you can hear from Coach Reid on a Monday is right here on 96.5 The Fan. I'm sure he'll be asked about Jalen Watson. I don't know if we'll get confirmation, but we all know the reporting out there suggests it's a broken ankle from Jalen Watson. But that's coming up next here on Cody and Gold.